top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Tuesday, March 12, in the headlines. Host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, Pastor Randy Rodney, has called for prayers for Haiti, which is currently facing a humanitarian crisis, leading to the worsening conditions in the country.
Q95DA.com.
Antigua's Prime Minister Gaston Rong claims that LIA 2020 is in the final stages of obtaining its air operation certificate and is scheduled to commence operations in late April or early May 2024.
Q, top of the hour news.
And President Joe Biden unveiled a $7.3 trillion budget proposal for a potential second term, aiming to convince Americans of his superior economic management skills over that of Donald Trump. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Get your daily reward from the Quartz Ready Cash Money Tree. Every customer is a winner with every loan of $3,000 or more from Quartz Ready Cash. Plus, you get to enter to win a weekend for two at Sandals. No deposit, no collateral needed. All you need is your ID, proof of address, payslips, job letter, and two references. Visit your nearest Quartz or Ready Cash location today or apply online at www.quartz.com. Get more for 2024 with Quartz Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Conditions apply.
Pastor Randy Rodney, host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, has appealed for prayers for Haiti amidst a humanitarian crisis excavated by escalating violence leading to the country's deterioration. Rodney expressed concerns regarding the approaches proposed by certain international organizations, suggesting that military interventions and aggressive strategies may worsen the situation instead of offering viable solutions.
To ask you, every one of you, especially you evangelical people, to spend some quality time to pray for Haiti. We have a prayer request that has been endorsed by the Evangelical Association of the Caribbean, and we ask you to pray for the situation there. The situation has deteriorated so bad that, put it that way, everybody's at risk in Haiti. Okay? Everybody is at risk in Haiti. And it is my humble view that some of the solutions that have been sought after by some of the international organizations may not be the right solutions in terms of exacerbating the information, the situation with wartime gear and militia and military. I'm not personally. I don't believe that is the right approach for the situation that is already in Haiti as it is. I believe we need to find some way to have conversations with, you know, those who are mounting this protest and this action against the sitting prime minister and the president of Haiti. So I really believe that should be done. So there should be some mission in that regard. While the prime minister is out of Haiti, I understand still is in Puerto Rico, stuck there. There should be something that would cause there to be a de-escalation of what is happening there.
Pastor Rodney asserted that the Prime Minister of Haiti should resign to facilitate the appointment of a new leader, tasked with ensuring transparent and successful elections in the country, a move he believes is crucial for Haiti's assistance and progress.
Honestly, if you ask me, I think the Prime Minister or President, whatever his position is, must resign and make way for a new leader with a mandate to have clear, fresh elections in Haiti without fail. And so that's what I believe we need to pray for, that there will be peace, there will be quiet, that those who are riling up the people would listen, pay some attention, and there should be some de-escalation there. Now, it's easy to stand and sit by and say that those who are revolting against the leadership, that they are lawless and they are dead. It's easy to sit back and do that. when you do not understand what's happening there. And we don't have the time to explain everything that's happening in Haiti. However, we believe that the best thing to do is to de-escalate the kind of civil war, literally, that's happening there now, and to bring some semblance of normalcy by having the current governing authority resign, appoint a new governing authority that will have free and fair elections within a couple of months, and so that the people could come to a place where they know that they're now being governed by an authority that they have elected.
And that was Pastor Randy Rodney, host of the Kingdom Connection program. Green Climate Fund project coordinator Hilda Kelthall announced that a total of $85,849 has been allocated for approved projects across various ministries, including the Ministry of Environment, Agriculture, and Public Works. Additionally, she revealed that the cabinet has given approval toward contracts for the rehabilitation of drains and culverts from Point Michelle to Sufria.
A total of $5,849 has been allocated for approved projects under the Ministries of Environment, Agriculture, and Public Works. The EDA project is pleased to announce that Cabinet has approved the award of a contract to Offshore Civil and Marine Incorporated for Lot 1 and Caribbean Concrete Limited for Lot 2 for the rehabilitation of drains and culverts from Point Michelle to Sufria. This project was submitted by the Ministry of Public Works and will commence as soon as approval of the EAISMP is received from the Green Climate Fund. The other two contracts are the Ministries of Environment and Agriculture. These are currently being reviewed. Component 3. This component demonstrates enhanced direct access for community organizations through grants for adaptation in buildings that promote resilience, and that is at a cost of $4.84 million, and this was made available for small adaptation grants.
Ms. Kelthall highlighted the involvement of 6 organizations currently implementing projects with the support from the Global Environment Facility, GEF, Small Grants Program Service Provider.
6 organizations are currently implementing projects with the assistance of the service provider, the Global Environmental Facility Small Grants Program. They are St. Peter's Fisheries Cooperative in Bioche at a total of $310,500. Southeast Community Emergency Response Teams in collaboration with the Laplane Catholic Church, EC dollars, $282,261. Salisbury First Baptist Church and Gospel Hall, EC $403,230. Drudel Eggleston Consumer Cooperative, $241,938. Monrachet Development Committee Incorporated, EC $456,994. And Atkinson Disaster Committee, $295,700 EC dollars. That means a total of EC $1.67 million has been disbursed to the community organizations, and a further EC $78,484.66 have gone toward administrative support and training. The third disbursement of 10% will be processed upon completion of the works. It is expected that most of the projects will be completed by the end of this month.
Project coordinator for the Green Climate Fund, Hilda Kelthall. All Saints University recently welcomed a delegation from the Pan American Health Organization, PAHO, for an extensive visit aimed at enhancing nursing education to fortify emergency preparedness and immunization initiatives across Dominica. The PAHO consultants conducted thorough on-site evaluations of the university's nursing programs, curricula, and infrastructure, emphasizing their crucial role in reinforcing healthcare systems to effectively respond to emergencies and advance immunization efforts in the region. The visit, held from March 5th to March 7th, 2024, involved comprehensive assessments of the island schools of nursing, with specific objectives to evaluate the nursing program's components and align the national nursing curricula with international standards. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95de.com. Prime Minister Roosevelt's carriage appeared on the radio show on Monday and provided an update on progress on electoral reform. He stated that in the coming weeks, the government aims to present to the Dominican people the elements deemed to be necessary for the initial phase of the electoral reform and modernization. He emphasized that if the Dominican people are committed to electoral reform, supporting the proposed components would not pose an issue.
Yeah, the Attorney General and a team has gone through this submission by Sir Dennis Byron. I think he has gone through it in a very meticulous manner. And I believe in the next couple of weeks, we should be able to submit to the public the elements that we believe we should take to Parliament on a first phase of electoral reform and modernization, is to the Electoral Commission and go to the Parliament. So that is completed. There was some additional workings that the AG also have looked at. I believe by now he'll have done that, and I'll get an updated report tomorrow as well from the Attorney General. But I think the AG and others have done a pretty good job of going through this submission by Sir Dennis Byron, taking into consideration the public comments and suggestions made in various consultations and by other means. And I believe that if we are serious about electoral reform, that which the Attorney General will submit to the public, I see no difficulty in the rest of all of us supporting the fundamental elements of electoral reform.
Prime Minister Skerrit expressed optimism that the government can bring legislation to Parliament and pass it before this year's budget address, effectively entrusting the implementation of the reform laws and regulations to the Electoral Commission.
And so I'm really hoping that before the budget this year, that we can really go to Parliament and pass the legislation and then put that in the hands of the Electoral Commission to go ahead and implement that which Parliament would have approved and start the process of electoral modernization in Dominica. But we are absolutely committed to this. Obviously, it took the Attorney General and his team a little longer than we would wish, but it better, you know, it is Babs Dyer who said legal work is never rushed. And there were so many details that you had to cross-reference existing legislation. You had to cross-reference the Constitution to ensure that some of the suggestions by Sir Dennis Byron are in conformity and not in violation of the Constitution. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General picked up some of those that were in violation of the Constitution and could not stand. And so he had to speak to Sir Dennis Byron on a couple of occasions to his attention. So it's a very meticulous work, but that was done by the Attorney General and some lawyers. And the next step is to submit those in a transparent manner to the public, to all of the openly everybody posting it. We've also taken into consideration some of the suggestions coming from the international observers, regional international observers. And I think that the work that has been done by the Attorney General and the legal team, I believe that was exceptional work. I think now we have to put it now in the public domain.
And that was Prime Minister Roosevelt's character. Cesar Emmanuel, Vice President of the Concerned Citizens Movement, suggests that the Citizenship by Investment program is linked to electoral reform. He alleges that the DLP administration has repurposed principles from the CBI program for electoral reform. Despite promises to enact electoral reform, Emmanuel notes that years later, this has still not yet been done.
This whole CBI thing ties together with electoral reform. It's the same principle over and over and over again. We were promised what? After 100 days of two elections passed, what we would have? Electoral reform. It never happened. In Parliament, we were told that tabulations were going to be done and we would get a figure amount, an aggregate on how much money that we collected from the sales of papa. Never done. It hasn't been done. Here again, we're going into a commitment that was given to those who believe in those commitments. I do not believe in them. That in the first quarter of this year, we will have electoral information on electoral reform. Have you seen any vibes in that area yet? Any vibes? Have you seen any movement, any motion from Parliament, from Cabinet, from the President, from the Commissioner of the Electoral Commissioner, right, Duncan? Have you seen any movement indicating that things are taking place for us to get a vote or a report on whatever Byron submitted, whatever recommendations Byron submitted to the Dominican Labour Party?
Cesar Emmanuel, Vice President of the Concerned Citizens Movement. Head of the National Ozone Unit at the Ministry of Environment, Ms. Sophia Anslem-Larock, outlined the unit's responsibilities, including overseeing national programs to comply with the Montreal Protocol and tackle ozone-depleting substances. She emphasized Dominica's commitment as a signatory to the protocol and the government's dedication to securing funding for its initiatives.
The National Ozone Unit is a unit within the Ministry of Environment with the responsibility of managing national programs to comply with the Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer. The National Ozone Unit is led by the National Ozone Officer and a dedicated team who are in the driver's seat of the Montreal Protocol processes at a national level and are the focal points for implementing issues related to the protocol. The Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer is a well-established multilateral environmental agreement and consumption of ozone-depleting substances. As a signatory to the Montreal Protocol, Dominica is responsible for ensuring that the initiatives of the protocol are carried out. The government of Dominica, through the Ministry of Environment, has signed small-scale funded agreements with the Multilateral Fund to the Ozone Secretariat and the United Nations Environmental Program, securing funding for the implementation of projects which will advance the goals of the protocol.
Ms. Larock announced that the Ministry of Environment has secured 4 small-scale funding agreements amounting to $770,000. These agreements are anticipated to produce various outcomes, including the review and development of ozone legislation.
Currently, the ministry has signed onto 4 small-scale funding agreements totaling $770,000. Which are expected to yield the following outcomes: review and development of ozone legislation, capacity enhancement of the refrigeration and air conditioning service sector, raise public awareness of the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol, strengthen Dominica's import and export licensing and quota system specifically regarding ozone depleting substances, phase out and reduction of the consumption of ozone depleting substances, and training of customs officers, brokers, refrigeration and air condition technicians, and importance of ozone depleting substances. The unit has been focused on its execution of its mandate and is actively ensuring that it produces the expected outcome. In 2023, the unit engaged legislative consultants who are currently tasked with the review and development of ozone legislation, as well as the ratification of the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol. Additionally, the unit has contributed to capacity building within the refrigeration and air conditioning sector by providing funding for 3 technicians, including a female technician, to participate in regional training opportunities throughout the year.
Sophia Anslem-Larock, head of the National Ozone Unit. In other news, LEAD 2020 is on track to commence operations in late April or early May 2024. As revealed by Prime Minister Gaston Brong, the airline is in the final stages of obtaining its air operation certificate. Brong noted a slight delay in receiving free aircraft from Airpeace, Nigeria's largest carrier, now anticipated in late March, in addition to the free from LEAD 1974 Limited. 2 aircraft from LEAD 1974 Limited will undergo extensive repairs, with the first expected to be completed by May. The Prime Minister emphasized that the government is investing in LEAD 2020 Limited to provide additional support for the new entity. This marks a departure from past practices, when shareholder governments did not contribute equally in this venture. The government has forged a partnership with Nigeria's Airpeace, with an estimated investment of US$80 million. And US President Joe Biden introduced a $7.3 trillion election year budget on Monday, seeking to reassure skeptical Americans of his ability to oversee the economy more effectively than that of Donald Trump. The plan includes tax increases on corporations and high-income earners to cut the deficit and finance programs supporting lower-income individuals with housing and childcare expenses.
U.S. President Joe Biden on $1 election year budget, aimed at convincing skeptical Americans he can run the economy better than his Republican rival Donald Trump. To help cut the deficit and pay for new programs, Biden wants taxes by trillions on corporations and high earners.
You know, I may not get it done, but if you give me a Congress, I will. No, I'm serious.
Biden's budget for the 2025 fiscal year, which starts this October, includes raising the corporate income tax rate to 28%, forcing those with wealth of $100 million to pay at least 25% of their income in taxes, and letting the government negotiate to bring more drug costs down.
Look, this year Medicare is negotiating lower prices for some of the costliest drugs on the market that treat everything from heart that we've already passed. Now it's time to go further and give Medicare the power to negotiate lower prices for even more drugs over the next decade.
The budget, released days after Biden's fiery State of the Union speech, was quickly rejected by the Republican House of Representatives Speaker Mike Johnson, saying it reflected an insatiable appetite for reckless spending and a disregard for fiscal responsibility. Biden's campaign has struggled to shake voters' concerns about high prices and the U.S. economy's direction. According to a January Reuters Ipsos poll, 40% of Americans think Trump would handle the economy best, compared with 31% who picked Biden and 28% who either didn't know or refused to answer. White House budgets are always something of a presidential wish list, but that is even more so in the current political climate. U.S. agencies are currently operating without a full year 2024, and Republicans rejected an ending level.
That's the midday news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, Pastor Randy Rodney, has called for prayers for Haiti, which is currently facing a humanitarian crisis leading to worsening conditions in the country.
Q95.
Antigua's Prime Minister Gaston Brown claims that LIAT 2020 is in the final stages of obtaining its air operation certificate and is scheduled to commence operations in late April or early May 2024.
Q, top of the hour.
And President Joe Biden unveiled a $7.3 trillion budget proposal for a potential second term,
on Q,
aiming to convince Americans of his superior economic management skills over Donald Trump. Q. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Felix Environment.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95.